Yo, what's going on? This is Relaxing OG underscore Jackson, and we are back for another week in the middle of this hot-ass summer. It is me and Big Cozy, Too Cozy. We're back for another week, episode 105, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, 105.
Shouts out to us. We've made it, and we're still alive. Wow, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing well. God's the greatest. Everybody, please make sure you follow us at the Highly Advised Podcast on Instagram, Advise Highly on Twitter, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, the Highly Advised Podcast. I'm gonna repeat that one more time. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, the Highly Advised Podcast. If you don't, I'm going to bring out an old saying we used to say, we're coming to break your neck. Special shout out to the third member of the podcast, Spence. He's dealing with another injury. This time it's a broken fingernail.
Wow.
He says the pain is really hurting him. He got sciatica by the broken fingernail. So Jesus. Spence, we wish you a speedy recovery again for what, the third week in a row? I mean, he has a lot. First, it was broken pinkies, legs. Now it's broken fingernail. You might have a torn eyelash the next week. We'll see, listeners. We'll update you if he has a torn eyelash or not.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he's ever going to recover, honestly. Like, it's a lot, man, going on with him. Just these last few weeks, he's got a lot going on.
Yeah, man, I asked him, I'm like, what were you doing with your fingernails where it's broken and it's hurting and you got sciatica? He was like, man, you know how I go. I'm like, I don't know how I go, man. That's my mess. And he just couldn't really give an answer. He was in a lot of pain. So I let him rest. So Spence, this episode is dedicated to you, my friend.
Yeah, shouts out to Spence. But yeah. I hope he took out some time this weekend to listen to some new music. Joey Badass came out with a new album. You know, I know we took out the time to listen to it.
So I listened to this album about twice. Actually, my second time listening to it was actually the morning of this recording. The first time was actually on the release date. So my first time listening to it, I thought I was like, it's okay. You know, I don't see the hype of album of the year contender. Then my second time listening to it, I actually enjoyed it a little more than I did the first time. My verdict is still, you know, it's okay album. It's not bad, but I don't think it's great. The three songs that stick out to me the most is Brand New 9/11 with Westside on there, Eulogy, and Zip Codes. Those three songs stick out to me a lot. I do like the Larry June song. I thought that song was kind of cool. And I like the song Cruise Control. I think that's kind of cool too. But overall, I just thought the album was, you know, it was all right. For the people subscribing to the notion that it's album of the year, it might be recency bias because some people are saying it's better than Kendrick's album. And I'm just like, damn, man, I don't know what's going on with these new albums where people are saying album of the year every time something comes out. But hey, here we are.
No, I listened to it and I thought it was okay. Like, you know, I think the second half of it is better than the first half, in my personal opinion, but it wasn't necessarily a bad album. Joey Badass can definitely rap, and you know, there's no doubt about that, but it just wasn't necessarily my favorite album that's came out this year. It was a good album though. I'd say it's worth a listen, you know, to at least hear what it is and then, you know, make up your own mind from there.
Yeah, most definitely is worth a listen. If you're a fan of rap, like real rap music, yeah, give it a shot. Check it out. You might like it more than me. You might like it more than Nigel, or you might dislike it. Who knows? But if you're a fan of real rap music, real quote unquote hip hop, as some people would like to deem it still, then go ahead and, you know, check this album out. It's not a waste of time. I didn't feel that way listening to it. So I don't feel like anybody else should feel that way as well.
Now, is there any other new music that you've been listening to recently?
So I know Beyonce is dropping an album. Actually, the day after this episode drops, Beyonce is dropping an album. I heard her lead single,
Break My Soul.
Yeah. And I'm not going to lie, I know some people are going to be like, what? I like the song. I think the song is entertaining. It's kind of catchy. I'm like, oh shit, okay. Now, of course, it's not rap music listeners. It's on the R. Well, actually, that song is more or less of kind of like dance, right? Dance. Maybe you could do a little pop, whatever, or house music. It's because it sounds like a house music, house genre type of thing. But it's cool. I'm gonna listen to Beyonce's album. To all the Beyonce fans that may be listening to our podcast, that should be listening to our podcast.
Exactly.
We are not the. We can't give a definitive answer on how great this album will be and what we're expecting. We're really the hardcore casual fan when it comes to Beyonce. Doesn't mean we dislike Beyonce, because we like her enough to obviously pick up her music and listen to it, but we're not, you don't expect a real critique from us. We're only, if we do talk about it on the podcast, we're just only probably going to talk about what songs we liked, and that was it.
There hasn't been a lot of things that have came out recently that have really caught my eye. And like, to me, I'll be listening to that album for sure, because I mean, it's Beyonce. So, you know, how could you not listen to it? She makes good music, in my opinion, personally. So I don't really see a reason not to listen to this album. But I mean, other than that, I haven't listened to Vita Brazy by Salaam Cito. That came out recently, and I thought that was a pretty dope. Would you say this is a project or an album? Like, how would you say?
I'm just going to say project.
Okay.
The only way I'll categorize it being an album, if you're like, if it's like, hey, it's a studio album, meaning like it's like recognized if it went platinum or whatever the fuck. But I'm just going to say project. If Slam Cito wants to call it an album, I'm going to respect it. It's his body of work. It's an album. But I actually don't know what he's describing it. So that's why I'm just saying project.
Okay.
With that being said, I thought Vita Brazy was dope. It's like real authentic trap music. I mean, like real shit that you don't really hear on the radio. And I'm not saying that he's like the best trap artist of all time. No, but I fuck with it. It sounds authentic. Some of the beats are definitely hard. I like how he's rapping over Hispanic songs that's been sampled. You don't really hear that too often. So I like his twist on that. I still think Idol Bond is like his best project ever since he got out of jail, prison, or whatever. But I do like Vita Brazy. I think Vita Brazy is dope, and I'm looking forward to whatever next project that he comes out with.
Yeah, I actually like this project too. I think it's a good project for the summer, especially something to listen to, and probably like, I don't know, it's an easy listen, you know what I mean? And I think sometimes that's a good thing. So, and it's not like he's not saying anything, you know what I mean? Like, he's actually rapping on here, so I respect that.
Is there a song on there that sticks out to you the most?
Oof. I like the song Vita Brazy. Goodfellas is a cool song.
I like that song too, Goodfellas.
I know there's another song, but I can't think of it at the moment. I know there's another song, but I can't think of it.
I like Not a Facade. And the other one I like is No OG. Mm. I think that one's dope too. Yeah, I think this project is dope. If for any listener or viewer that's out there going to the gym and pumping iron, throw this on. This might get you a little amp to bust out some more reps. Or if you just chilling with your homeboys or homegirls and you guys are just vibing out, throw this on. You guys might turn up a little bit. Shouts out to Slam Cito. Vita Brazy's all right. I like it.
I feel like they
can't. I'm not going to say, my bad, Nigel, but I'm not going to say, listeners, hey, Vita Brazy should be compared to Joey Badass 2000. I'm not saying that. This is
two different types of music.
Right. They're both rap, but they're two different types of rap. One is like, hey, serious rap music. The other one is kind of like more on the fun side, entertainment side.
Right, exactly. And I think that's a good way to put it. But what was entertaining that I was watching this weekend was Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. I thought that that trailer is pretty good. It just recently announced, kind of out of nowhere, seeming like, what was it, like in the middle of the night or something like that?
Well, I can't put a timestamp on the time the trailer released, but I just know that the trailer is probably like the most talked about trailer that has come out over the weekend.
Yeah, that's true. It's part of San Diego Comic-Con. Pretty much they've came out and they've released a lot of Marvel stuff and DC stuff and, you know, all types of comic book news in general. And I think Sandman, the trailer for that came out on Netflix. And I'm interested in seeing this Wakanda Forever, though, specifically, just because, like, a lot of people, they were just, you know, talking like we were talking about before on the podcast about, oh, MCU's over, MCU's done, da-da-da, it sucks, Phase 4 sucks, this is the end, it ended at Endgame, blah, blah, blah. And now Wakanda Forever comes back, and everybody's like, oh, you drove me back in. Oh, what do you know? I'm so excited, da-da-da. So I just find it funny to see people react like that. But I thought the trailer was good.
Yeah, the trailer was dope. It got me on board to really want to go see it in the theater. I haven't seen Thor, Love and Thunder yet. I'm actually waiting until it hits Disney Plus. But Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, I'm definitely going to check it out. I like how they didn't really reveal who the new Black Panther, like who's going to be. Obviously, a lot of people speculate that it's going to be his sister from the first movie, but we don't really know yet. Hopefully, they don't release another trailer. Well, they're going to release another trailer, obviously for marketing, promotion, and all that stuff. But hopefully, the next trailer that released still doesn't show the Black Panther. Leave it up for people to be anticipated and wanting to go see it. Like, fuck, I really got to go see who's the next Black Panther. And because if it is the sister, then, you know, it kind of confirms what everybody's expecting. But if it wasn't, then you have a moment where you're kind of like, oh, shit, this is a dope swerve. Well, you know, depending on who it is. But I want to see Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. I mean, coming out in November, I feel like all brothers and all sisters need to go out and support that. Because the more people that support that, obviously, the bigger that particular franchise could be.
I think the thing with Shuri being Black Panther is interesting because there's a group of people who aren't so happy about that. And there's a thing that they had called recast back Black Panther. Like, hey, we were wrong. We actually do want somebody else to play T'Challa now. Like it's kind of crazy, but I mean, to me, I would be happy if she was Black Panther. I think it'd be very fitting for the story, especially. And yeah, I'm excited for it. I'm excited for all the other Marvel announcements they made too. So it's going to be a fun period of time with these movies and shows that they have.
To me, it just depends though, how they pull it. If it is going to be her, it depends how they're going to pull it off. You know, you can't just throw her just because she's a sister. I feel like you got to kind of make it, you know, build it up and kind of make a sense where like, oh shit, okay, cool. Like to give example, right? This is if freaking right, Tony Stark is dead in the MCU, he's dead. So for the next Iron Man, and literally call that character Iron Man, they give it to freaking War Machine dude. I can't think of his name right now. Colonel Rhodey. Now, granted, he's already has an armored suit, War Machine or whatever. But let's say they decide to give him a name change. Because remember, it was Iron Man 3. He was the Iron Patriot or whatever the fuck. So if they decide to switch his name and get him to Iron Man, people wouldn't really necessarily be excited for that. Now, I'm not big into the comic books as you are and definitely some other people. So I could be wrong. Maybe he was an Iron Man in the comic books. But for a lot of people who are casual to the comic books and their only thing, their only knowledge of Marvel superheroes is the movies, they're not going to know that. They just won't. So
the way I see it is like, it's up to Ryan Coogler and I guess whoever is, if he's writing it or whoever else to bring that to life. And I think now that they have some type of a reference from the comic book where she actually did become Black Panther, I think they should be able to pull it off with some type of a, guarantee, you know. And not only that, it seems like they're working a couple other storylines in there too, like if you know paid attention in the trailer. But it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I'm excited for it.
Now, I know that there's been a lot going on as far as entertainment, but I know there's a potential fight that we have coming up, and it's been rumored for a long time. It's been here and there, but recently Ryan Garcia was fighting, and I can't remember who he had fought, but he had knocked him out. And now he is calling out Tank, and Tank is saying that he wants to fight him as well. Do you think they're actually going to make this fight happen this time?
It's one of those, I believe it when I see it type of deals. Or when I see it, I'll believe it. There we go. I think that boxing has came to a point where, like, the big matchups that should be happening, unfortunately, they're turning into dream matchups. And that shouldn't be a thing. Because the whole concept of dream matchups, right? Ali versus Tyson. We're talking about two separate generations of boxers. What if? That's a dream matchup. Not Ryan Garcia and Tank. Both from the same generation. They fight at the same weight class. They could fight the same mutual opponents. They could go after the same title. They both make millions when they fight. This shouldn't be a dream matchup. This should be the next matchup. And I don't know why this shit is not happening. It should be next, but I don't know. I don't think, as of right now, I just don't believe in it. I just don't.
I feel like it's one of those things where you do have to actually see it to feel like it's actually happening. Just because they've talked so much. They were on Mike Tyson's podcast going back and forth and whatnot. Like, it just feels like it's a whole lot of talk to get people excited. Then they're both going to end up fighting different people that they shouldn't be fighting anyway.
Yeah. So there's that. I'd rather get more excited for Terrence Crawford versus Errol Spence.
That's fair. Well, I know that something else that happened recently that's been a shock to everybody was Vince McMahon retiring from the WWE. A lot of people thought he would be there until he died. And I probably think he did too, but with the scandal that's kind of going on, or I say the situation that's going on with him in the WWE, he's decided to retire. And now Stephanie McMahon is taking over, and Triple H will be taking over the creative spot that he was holding in the meantime. So it seems like we might be on to some type of change in the WWE.
Yeah. It was one of those things of, like, he had to go. It was time for him to go type of deal. More things keep coming out a light about him now. Apparently something about finances that he hasn't been not him specifically, but I guess has been off, haven't been reported correctly. So that's another thing that's happening to him. So it was probably one of those things where, remember, listeners, this is not official, but this is just speculation that could be a realistic thing.
Right.
The board of directors or whatever, they probably came up to him and they were like, hey, look, yo, either, you know, retire and keep whatever dignity you can, or we have to force you out. And he probably was like, well, fuck that, I'm retiring. He relieved all his duties. So now it's going to be a new era of wrestling in general. And for the listeners that are wrestling fans, it should be a very interesting time. For listeners who aren't wrestling fans, you probably don't give a fuck one way or another.
I think it's cool because in the meantime of WWE going through this situation, AEW has been building a name for itself and is now a viable number two at the least, you know, for competition in the wrestling business. And I think, you know, competition is a great thing when you have became as big as WWE has.
Yeah, you need competition in everything. Everything needs competition. No matter, like we just talked about Ryan Garcia Tank, we want to see it because it's supposed to be the best forms of competition. Or if we're talking about something such as UFC, just like the event that just passed last weekend with Tom Aspinall versus Curtis Blaydes when they were fighting in London, the competition of two of the best heavyweights of right now in mixed martial arts. So everything needs competition, because if you just have too much of one thing, it's just not good. But Nigel, did you see that UFC London card over the weekend?
Yeah, like I saw it, and it's an interesting situation with this card. Well, a few fights happened that were interesting, I'll say. Do you want to just kind of do a quick rundown from the beginning to the end?
No, I'm going to be honest, man. Let's just talk about what matters, because the card was a little uneventful.
All right, boom.
There were some highlights, but it wasn't that great.
Well, let's start off with the Gustafsson fight then.
Okay.
So that fight was interesting because Nikita Krylov kind of went in there and, you know, bulldozed Alexander Gustafsson. It was kind of crazy to see. I think DC called it the best. And, you know, nobody wants to be told when their time is, but if there was a time for Alexander Gustafsson, I think if it wasn't now, then I don't know when it will be.
It's now. It has to be now. And hopefully Dana White and the rest of the gang is like, we're not booking you a fight, at least not in the UFC. If you want to go fight in Bellator or ONE or whatever, that's your choice. But right. In the UFC, you're done. I feel like I remember saying it. Hey, if Gustafsson loses to Nikita Krylov, it might be time to hang him up. And the way he lost shows he needs to hang him up. Great career. I think he's a Hall of Famer. I don't know about first ballot, but I'll for sure give him second.
Okay. I'm not mad at that.
Technically speaking, not to cut you off, he's already in the Hall of Fame because him and John Jones, their first fight, got into the Hall of Fame. Because you know how the UFC likes to induct fights?
Mm.
Yeah.
The next fight I wanted to talk about was the Paddy Pimblett fight, where he went in and in the second round got a submission over Jordan Leavitt. That fight, I got to give Paddy Pimblett some props because I think that this was actually a quality win for him. I can't say he necessarily looked the best throughout the fight. The first round was back and forth. It was a, you know, competitive round. But then in the second round, they came out and pretty much won the fight, you know, just straight up. But regardless, I thought that the fight was good. You know, I'm excited to see who he fights next. I know you had brought up an interesting matchup for him earlier.
Yeah, him versus Drew Dober. I think that's a good step up in competition. We don't need to see Paddy Pimblett fight these lower ranked guys anymore. Now, granted, Drew Dober, I don't know what he's ranked in the UFC rankings or whatever, but in our rankings, listeners, a revamped version is coming soon. I don't have Drew Dober ranked. Doesn't mean that he's a scrub by any means. He's just not the most elite of elite lightweights in the world. And that's okay because Paddy, as he's working his way up, because more than likely that's what he wants, a shot at the belt. You got to beat your Drew Dobers before it's like, okay, now you can fight your lower rank opposition.
Right.
All right. Now you can fight your higher rank opposition versus the number one contender's belt into a title shot. So I think Drew Dober is a good step up for him next. Not saying that he will get Drew Dober, but I think that's a good matchup for him. If he does beat Drew Dober, then you got to give him a top 10 opponent. Let's not sugarcoat it anymore, because if you do, the gimmick will start to be up and people start to be like, oh, this dude's kind of a can crusher.
And well, I think he needs to fight somebody who is definitely better than Jordan Leavitt. But like you said, he doesn't need to be thrown to the sharks just yet, because especially the way they're building up, I think it's going at the pace it should be at the moment. So hopefully they continue that. But in the main event, there honestly wasn't too much to really talk about to it. The fight started with Curtis Blaydes and Tom Aspinall at heavyweight. In 15 minutes in, it looked like Tom Aspinall threw a kick. And I'm not sure exactly as to what type of injury he has, but he injured his leg and the fight was over. And that was that. It wasn't really a long fight. It was kind of just a unfortunate way to end the fight card, which wasn't that bad heading into the main event.
Yeah, it was only like 15 seconds, but I thought Curtis Blaydes was about to crack his ass pretty good before that last exchange, because I don't know if Tom Aspinall was trying to bulldoze him at first to set, you know, basically set his whatever game plan that he was going for, but it kind of didn't. You can't really break down a fight in 15 seconds, but what I will say is just kind of like, I don't think Curtis Blaydes I picked Curtis Blaydes to win the decision after seeing what was going down in the little time that we did have. It looked like it was about to be either one or two things. It was going to be a barn burner of a fight in that round, or Curtis Blaydes was going to start taking over. I just felt like Aspinall was a little reckless in his approach within those first few seconds. But then again, I don't know. You know what I mean? You have 5 minutes in one round. So much can happen in 5 minutes.
Right. So maybe at some point in time in the future, they'll run it back. But as of right now, that match has a gigantic asterisk over it.
I think Curtis Blaydes should just move on. I think he needs to fight the winner of Tai Tuivasa and Ciryl Gane. Tom Aspinall, obviously, his next thing is to heal up and be able to recover. Apparently, he tore something in his knee, ACL, MCL, some shit. So hopefully he can recover from that and return to fight a top 10 heavyweight. But for Curtis Blaydes, just let him move on. It wasn't his fault. Just kind of like the Yari Rodriguez thing. It wasn't his fault. So,
all right. So this weekend coming up, we have UFC 277. I want to do a little quick rundown of the cards. You don't have to give me super long answers for each, but I just want to run down the main card as it is right now today. Okay.
All right.
So first we have Anthony Smith versus Magomed Ankalaev. Thank you.
So I know Magomed Ankalaev is probably going to be the favorite to win that fight. I think that's a fight that he is going to win by decision. But I also think that's a fight that Anthony Smith can win as well. I feel like when Anthony Smith is not dealing with injuries or dealing with any mental lapse, because he has that as well sometimes, I think he could be a really good fighter. Remember, he beat Gustafsson too. And I think Anthony Smith he's on a good win streak right now. I think if he were to pull off this upset, I wouldn't really be surprised. But my pick is going Ankalaev with a decision.
Yeah, I think Magomed gets it. But I think this fight should be pretty back and forth. I don't think this is a fight that neither one of them should necessarily be like dominating. Anthony Smith can pull out a surprising performance here and there, but I don't think he's really consistent. And I'm not sure whether he'll show up in that form or not. So I have to go with Magomed because of that. The next fight we got is Alexandra Pantoja versus Alex Perez.
I'm going with Pantoja. I think he's the better fighter between the two. I think the last time we see Alex Perez, he's coming off a loss. Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken, it's against Figueroa, right? Or he had another loss after that.
No, you're right.
Yeah, so he didn't look especially well in that fight against Figueroa. I think Pantoja, he's the more busier fighter between the two, and I think he's the better fighter. I think he mixes it up real well. Not saying Alex Perez is not good. I mean, he's solid. I just don't I think Pantoja is the better fighter. So I got Pantoja by decision.
I think I'm going to go Alexandre you said Pantoja?
Yes.
Pantoja, in order to win this fight, I think he just is coming off looking a little bit better in his fights as of recently. I don't know that I would take Alex Perez at this point in time just because of the way he looked in his last fight against Figueiredo, personally. The third fight we have on this fight card is Derek Lewis versus Sergey Pavlov, or Pavlovich, excuse me. I think Derek Lewis is going to win this fight, personally.
I disagree, man. I think Sergey is going to pull this one off.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's fair.
It's Derek Lewis. I think if he loses this fight, I think he might need to take some time off just to, I don't know, could be switch cans, maybe just needs rest, just refresh, maybe, because that would be like what, back to back losses. Can't remember the beating that he got from Gane last year. So I just don't know. The Sergey guy, he's been pretty good. He's on a good win streak. I think he's undefeated in the UFC, to be honest. Derek Lewis can win this fight. I think Sergey is going to pull it off. And once again, by decision.
He has one loss in the UFC, and that's the Alistair Overeem.
Okay. That was like his first fight, right?
Hold on.
First fight in the UFC?
No, it was his second fight.
Oh, damn. Never mind.
You're close.
Yeah.
don't know. I just feel like Derek Lewis has a way of pulling these type of fights out. Like, yeah, he might be like not necessarily the more technical fighter, but he just finds a way to withstand and outlast his opponents and just knock them out. I don't think this is the fight that's going to change that necessarily, but it's not a fight that he's guaranteed to win either.
Yeah, this is not like the Dawkins fight when he fought, what's his name, Chris Dawkins. I was like, Derek is going to knock this dude out.
Right.
But the Sergey guy, he's actually a little more stiffer than, a little more tougher, I should say, than Chris Dawkins.
Now, the co-main event that we have is Brandon Moreno versus Kai Kara-France in the flyweight title. I think that Kai Kara-France has been looking pretty good in his last few fights, and I have him to win this fight. I don't think he's necessarily going to knock out Brandon Moreno, because I think that Brandon Moreno is pretty skilled, and I think that this is going to be a back-and-forth fight on the street on a – Jesus. I think this is going to be a back-and-forth fight on the street – on the feet, but I think that Brandon Moreno will be a tough competitor for him.
I'm picking Brandon Moreno. I think he's the better fighter between the two. I thought Brandon Moreno beat Figueiredo in their fight early in the year. I thought he did enough to win that split decision. Even though it was a scored split for him, it was scored a unanimous decision for Figueiredo. But anyway, I thought Brandon Moreno did enough to edge that. Kai Kara-France, he's on a roll. He's been doing his damn thing at flyweight. I remember he knocked out Cody Garbrandt. He beat up Oscar. What's his name? I can't think of it right now. Askarov, or forgive me for messing it up if I did, but his last fight, that Kai Kara-France that he was in, he beat that dude, and he beat him, in my opinion, convincingly too. For this Brandon Moreno fight, I don't think this is going to be a clear-cut 50-45 win for Brandon Moreno. I really think that it's going to be a very competitive fight, but I just think Brandon Moreno is going to pull off the decision.
Now, in the main event, we have the rematch of Juliana Pena versus Amanda Nunes. This is a fight that ended in a shocking submission last year after a wild battle on the feet between the two of them. This fight, I think that Amanda Nunes can win, but I think that Juliana Pena kind of won the hard part, which is withstanding some of her harder punches and coming back to then submit her. So I don't think Amanda Nunes is going to come in here and just try to necessarily just dominate her and be the better fighter, because she's already proven that, hey, I can out tough you, or I can stand in there with you if you're trying to do that. I have Juliana Pena to win the rematch.
Yeah, me too. I have her winning by decision. I don't think Amanda Nunes is going to try to pull a Chris Cyborg or do what she tried to do in the last fight. Like what you said, she's going to try to tough her out and show her that she's the big dog. I think Amanda Nunes is going to fight exactly how she fought in her rematch for Valentina Shevchenko, where she's really going to try to be methodical or striking, take her time. So I think the main event might be a little uneventful, because the reason why I say that, I think Amanda Nunes is a smart fighter, and she's not going to try to macho Juliana Pena like she did in that first fight. This fight, she's going to fight a lot smarter, and she's going to make Juliana come to her. It's just, I think if she advises Juliana to be the aggressor in a fight, I just don't think she's going to win on the scorecards. I think Juliana is going to just beat her up, really, if they keep the fight on the feet. Now, of course, Amanda always has knockout power, so we'll never discredit that. But like you said, I think Juliana just got her number. And as we both know, Juliana, before the Amanda Nunes fight, she wasn't a slouch. She was pretty good. It was that we just didn't think that she was in Amanda's league.
Right.
She just proved she's in Amanda's league.
Well, with that, the fight will be over. Or I should say that fight card should be over. Do you have anything else for the listeners this week? It's been a pretty quiet week. Not a lot has really happened, but I think that, go ahead. What's up?
Listeners, we are Nigel and I. We're actually planning to do a record our ratings for the announcement for the new Marvel movies, just to do something fun for the listeners and the viewers and stuff of what we think is anticipated versus is not anticipated. So look out for that. As always, make sure you follow us at the Highly Advised Podcast on Instagram, Advise Highly on Twitter, and subscribe to our channel at the Highly Advised Podcast on YouTube. We definitely look forward to seeing any comments, any replies. We definitely like seeing the likes. We definitely like seeing the new subscribers and new followers. Thank you to the listeners. Thank you to the viewers. That's it for me for this episode. Till the next recording, that's all I got. What about you, Nigel?
I don't really have much else. Y'all have been highly advised. We will see you guys next week. Enjoy yourselves and have a good weekend.
Boom.